I want to say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning, bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you. Welcome the visitors who are here with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is a good day to come together and to worship the Lord, and a good day to be alive, and a good day to serve the Lord. I've appreciated the service so far, and the scripture reading and Brother James just read, just a lot of good instruction and truths there. And I keep thinking that we as a church need to read through the book of Proverbs in a month. And yeah, I guess we could do it multiple months, but I think it would be good to do it for a month sometime. Maybe we'll try to make that happen before too long. We'll see how the Lord leads from that. But also, yeah, our new believers class this morning, we talked about the fall of man when Adam and Eve fell into sin and severed their right relationship with God. And so it was a good and encouraging time there as we thought about that and our need of a Savior and our need of continuing to pursue and keep a right relationship with the Lord. This morning for a message, we'll be continuing our study in the Ten Commandments. We'll be looking at the third commandment. And 2 weeks ago we looked at God having first place in our lives, being dedicated to loving God with our whole heart and being on guard for things that draw us away from God, things that take our focus off of Him. Today we were looking at having reverence or protecting the name of the Lord. The text this morning will be one verse, and that is in Exodus chapter 20 verse 7, if you want to turn to that at this time. Title of our message this morning is Protecting God's Name. Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." You know, we many times think of this as using the Lord's name as a swear word, or in a wrong way that way. But I think there's much more here to this command. There's a lot, I believe there's a lot more here, and we'll look at some of that this morning. Well, although that is part of it, it has become very prevalent in our society today to take the Lord's name in vain. You don't have to go very far to hear many people out in the public doing that. And yeah, sometimes I wonder what we as Christians are supposed to do with that. I'm not quite sure sometimes whether we should speak up. Or one time I heard a brother saying that he was somewhere and the people were taking the Lord's name in vain, and he made the comment, he was like, "Ouch, you're hurting my ears, you're talking about my Savior." And yeah, I forget how he said it, but that's kind of the way. Yeah, so I'm not saying we need to always do that, but sometimes I wonder if there is a time where we should maybe step up and be careful to guard the name of the Lord. But thinking of the command that we're looking at here this morning, God is commanding or calling us to guard His name, to protect His name, to have reverence for His name. What all is involved with that? I think there's three questions we want to look at this morning that will help us understand this a little bit better. How do I misuse God's name, or how do I take it in vain? The second one is, why is God's name so important? And the third is, what is the penalty for misusing His name? First one we'll look at is the first part of misusing God's name. Did you ever hear someone's name? You know, you're out in public and you hear someone's name, or somebody asked you, "Do you know so-and-so?" You know, say a name. And many times when you hear someone's name or hear somebody say that, an image pops into your mind. If you know that person, an image pops into your mind of who that person is. And sometimes it can be a good image if it's a godly person or a good person, a man that stands for integrity and builds integrity, stands for the Lord. Sometimes if it's somebody that is a heathen or somebody that does a lot of wicked things, it can bring a negative. It's not a positive thought. I don't know if I want to use the word negative, but it's not a very good thought to come to your mind when you think of that name. Oftentimes there will be an image that comes to your mind with a connection to that name, whether good or bad. Thinking a little bit more about our command or the text we're looking at this morning, many times we think of this command as not to swear, not to use God's name as a swear word, as we mentioned a little bit before. But sometimes I believe our understanding of this verse is far too simple. Brother Jason Reed, I believe, touched on this just a little bit when he was here for our seminar, and I've thought about this many other times before that and since that, of, yeah, what all is involved with not taking God's name in vain. I think sometimes we get to the place where we think that God has compiled a list of do's and don'ts, things we're not supposed to say. And if we are careful not to do those things or say those things, we feel we're doing okay, or we feel we're doing pretty good. But I believe there's many other ways that we can violate this command on a daily basis. One of the things we want to think about this morning is part of taking the Lord's name in vain is to misrepresent Him. I don't know, some of you may remember Brother Eddie shared that his wife Lisa, or Lisa, Sister Lisa's dad, Mel Haldeman, when he was nearing his death, he had made some statements to his family, and one of the statements he made, I remember Brother Eddie sharing, was to tell the church to stop sinning. You know, it sounds kind of simple, but when the church, when Christians get involved in sin, we're really marring the image and the name of God. You know, I believe many times we have a far too much of a casual attitude towards sin today. There's a verse back in Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." You know, I thought about that a little bit, and there's much more we could talk about that. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What does that mean, is a strong tower? It means strength. It means something that we can cling to. And then it says, the righteous runneth into it and is saved. In other words, those that are righteous, those that are believers, those that are born-again children, sons and daughters of God, we will run to it and cling to the name of the Lord. God's name is, as we've already said, is misused by many today in profanity. Back in Matthew 5:34, it says, "But I say unto you," this is Jesus' own words here in the Sermon on the Mount, "swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." You know, there's nothing wrong with calling out to God by His name when we come before the Lord. I remember, and I've shared this before, but we had those two fires, it's 16 years ago, I guess this summer now, and we had our first barn fire. Then a year and a half later, we had another shed fire, and then it was about a year later. The smoke alarms went off in our house about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I come out of bed and I said, "Dear Lord, please not the house yet." And you know, sometimes when we call out to the Lord, it's okay to call Him by name. It's okay when we're calling out to the Lord. But that's a lot different than using the name of the Lord in vain, and where we're just using it as a swear word or something vulgar. And I'm not going to use it that way. We hear it enough out in the public. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to use it as a vulgar way. But many people just use it as part of their, not as a way of calling out to the Lord, but as a swear word. God's name is misused in hypocrisy. Many times, you know, as you think of Christians, when you see somebody that is saying one thing and doing the other, it is, we look at them sometimes as a hypocrite. There was a quote that I was thinking of as I was thinking of some of that, something about, shoot, now it left me. Anyway, if I think of it, I'll say it later. But in other words, yeah, don't do as I say, do as I do. In other words, yeah, don't misrepresent God. Don't profess to be a Christian, but live in sin. Don't profess to know the Lord and do things that we know is wrong. Sometimes God's name can be misused when we take an oath. Today in the court of law, many times you're asked to say and put your hand on a Bible, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me God." I remember there was a missionary, it's probably 25 years ago or now more, he was down in Guatemala, I believe it was. And he had witnessed some things that had happened, and he needed to testify in court. And we many times as Christians believe in affirming that we're going to tell the truth instead of swearing by God that we're going to tell the truth. But there wasn't a word that they could translate or something. I forget what the story was for the word affirm. There wasn't a word that they could translate for that word. So they were threatening to hold him in contempt of court because he wouldn't swear to tell the truth. And You know, thinking of some of that, I want to look at where we are told that. And again, this is in the Jesus Sermon on the Mount, back in Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. It says, "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black." But then verse 37, this is what we are called as Christians to do. "But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In other words, let what we say be the truth. Let it be the honest truth. Yet our yea be yea and our nay, nay. That we don't have to swear and say, "I swear that this is the truth." But yet people know that what we are saying is the truth. In some of my readings, somebody said it like this: God's name can be misused when we say, "This is the will of God." I remember one church many years ago, they had a sanctuary and they built a gym, and they were talking about maybe meeting and having their services in their gym instead of in the sanctuary. And they took a vote and it did not pass to do that. The vote carried to stay in the sanctuary. And I think it was the next Sunday, if I remember right, the pastor got up and said that, well, God told him that they should have their services in the gym, so they're going to start having them in the gym. Well, needless to say, about half the church wasn't there the next Sunday and didn't come back after that. But in other words, what I'm getting at is that was one example of someone misusing and saying that this is the will of God. And then he went on to say like this: it is acceptable Christian behavior in our day to say that God told me to do this, or this is God led me to do this, or God spoke to me and told me to do this. This is acceptable behavior many times inside the Christian community. It would be impolite if someone were to ask, "How do you know that God really spoke to you? Really, was it his voice or a bass or a baritone?" We attribute to God certain impulses or impressions that do not come from him at all. The false prophets of the Old Testament would preach their dreams rather than the word of God. People misuse his name when they attempt to take his name for their own advantage. Because you can say to another human being, "God told me to do this," you had better have reason or sound to do this, and it must line up with the word of God. In other words, be careful that what we're saying is not just something that we want to do, or it's not our agenda, but that it is rather lining up with the word of God, and that it does have sound reasoning. Part two we want to look at is, why is God's name so important? If you think about it, each of the Ten Commandments have a negative and a positive to them. There's usually something they tell us not to do, and then it tells us why we shouldn't do it or what we should do. In the first part, we looked at what we should not do. Now we want to look at what we are told to do. What does this command really call us to do? I believe because God's name represents his character, God's name is to be treated with great reverence and care. Both God and his name are to be treated as valuable. You know, do we really care about the image that we are presenting to the world by what we know is good and right? You've often heard that comment, I'm sure, that you may be the only Jesus that the world ever sees. And you know, it really saddens me when I see Christians, and I know none of us are perfect, and I want to be careful here because I'm not trying to set it up that we can be perfect, but it really saddens me when you see Christians that fall into gross sin. And I've often made the comment that it mars the image of God in the world's eyes when a Christian falls into sin. And many times gives them fuel to add to their disgust, or whatever you want to call it, their demise of God. Just here this past week, I was talking with a brother, and a young man in another community had fallen and was falling into very gross sin. And one of the men that were trying to talk to him and work things out, when he was first falling into sin, he still believes in God. He still has a relationship with God. When he was excommunicated from the church, he He couldn't understand why they were saying he was giving up the fight. And, you know, he had heard that they said he was giving up the fight. But then it wasn't a month or so after that when somebody was talking to him and trying to help him work through some of the things and trying to help him see his need of repentance. And he made the comment, "Well, I'm not even sure if I believe in God anymore. He's never done anything for me anyhow." And, you know, that's really sad when you hear those kind of statements and see those kind of things take place. And why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this to help us to be on guard, to recognize the need for purity, to recognize the need to stand pure and holy before the Lord, to recognize the need that, not recognize the fact that we're not only hurting ourselves, but we are hurting and marring the name and the image and the character of God. We are commanded to elevate the name of God and the reputation of God to the highest of places, not only in what we say, but how we live. Our goal and what we do in life should be to bring glory and honor to God's name. I remember Brother Ernie, one time years ago, he had heard something about a man that he knew that was very, very well. I think he was on a school board. I don't remember all the details, but it was a pretty serious accusation that he heard about this man. And Ernie, his first thought was when he heard this, that he said, "I know that is not true. I know that man." And as he went and talked to him, it was, I forget what had happened, but it was definitely not true. And, you know, be the type of person when if there ever is a false accusation made against someone to say, "I know that man would not do that," even though, again, nobody is perfect and nobody is beyond falling. But if we are true to our calling, if we are true to being witnesses for the Lord, we can leave a good and lasting testimony. 1 Corinthians 5:20 tells us one thing we should be doing. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." What does an ambassador do? An ambassador has one goal in mind, to represent their king and kingdom well. If the ambassador for the United States goes to England or to wherever they go, and they would be more loyal to the king or president of that country, they would not be being the ambassador that they are called to be for the country. And that's the same as us as Christians. If we are called to be ambassadors, which the Bible tells us we are called to represent our king and our Lord and our God and his kingdom well. A couple more verses thinking about some of that in 1 Peter 2. Verse 9 and then verse 11 and 12, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of his marvelous or wonderful light." And then it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrim," or "I beseech or I beg or ask of you as strangers and pilgrim to abstain or turn away from the fleshly lust or the sin which wars against your soul. And have your conversation honest with the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that by your good works, which ye shall behold or which they shall observe, they may glorify God in the day of visitation." So there we see several things. We are a chosen generation. We are called to represent the kingdom of God. We are called to represent the one who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous or wonderful light. And then we see him going on to say here that they're asking or beseeching us to recognize the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. To abstain from the fleshly lust or the sin that wars against our soul. Do not take part in the sin, but to have our conversation honest. We talked about that before. You let your yea be yea and your nay, nay among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works glorify, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, what all is a part of glorifying God? Thinking a little bit of letting your yea be yea and your nay, nay. I was tested on that just recently here. I was looking for a little bumper hitch trailer to use for different things, for hauling, and I found one and I went and looked at it. It was kind of pretty much what I wanted. It was about 2 years old, looked like it had fairly low use, low wear, and so I told him I would take it. Well, don't you know, 2 days later, I seen another one on Facebook Marketplace for $1,000 cheaper. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But I had already spoken and told the man that I would take his. It wasn't ready to pick up yet, so I hadn't paid for it or picked it up, so it would have been very easy to call and say, you know, hey, I don't know if I really need it now. I could have made up all kinds of excuses, but I decided no. I told the man, yes, I would take it. And I thought about that. You know, that man will never know that. That man will never know that story, and that's okay. But he does know that I was true to my word, and I followed through on what I said. And there's been other things like that. Are we truly being honest in everything we are doing? Basically, what we're looking at here is, why is God's name so important, and some of the things of living right and doing right. Basically, to put it in a nutshell, live right, do right, be all that God has commanded and called us to be. You know, it's pretty easy to love those that love you. It's pretty easy to get along with your neighbor that gets along with you. But what about those that don't like you? Or what about your neighbor that isn't so lovely? Are we still giving God's name the glory that is due him? Part three we want to look at is guilty or guiltless. The verse there with this command there in Exodus 20, verse 7, the first part tells us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But then it says at the end of the verse, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So there it says, what will happen to those that do take his name in vain? What if I take his name as meaningless? Or what if I don't reverence his name? Worse yet, what if I try to lift myself up or my name at the expense of his name? Did you ever see somebody try to do that to make themselves look pretty good instead of give honor and glory to the Lord? This is a sober warning for us, and one of the warnings, with the warning, God does not specify the specific punishment. But we know throughout the scripture what is called for as punishment for those that do wrong or do sin. So we have a really good idea what that would be. Did you ever have anyone tell you, especially as a younger person, that I wouldn't do that if I were you? I'm sure you've had somebody say that, or you probably shouldn't do that. You've probably heard somebody say that at one point in time, maybe a friend, maybe somebody else. It's kind of what we're being told or called to do here. I wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain if I were you. It's not going to work out for your benefit. Thinking a little bit more about what God is saying, as we said before, there's not a lot stated here, but a lot is intended by this verse. God does tell us that we will be guilty if we take his name in vain or misuse his name. Somebody said it like this: if we don't practice what we preach, then we can be causing the name of God to be blasphemed among unbelievers. As Christ ambassadors, that should be the last thing that we want to make happen. Many people today, as we've said before, have reduced the name of the Lord to nothing but a swear word. That should sadden us. That should bring us great grief, so to speak, when we hear those taking the name of the Lord in vain. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 12, thinking a little bit more about reverence the name of the Lord, and it says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there's coming a day, back in Revelation it tells us there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, there's when that day comes, those that are saying they don't believe in God or have not proclaimed the name of the Lord are not going to be able to escape that. But to their horror, they will realize they've made a great mistake. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what is the first phrase in the first verse? Or first two phrases, I guess. Our Father, which art in heaven. What's the next phrase? Anybody know it? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. What does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to make holy, to consecrate, with great reverence and honor. Jesus was telling his disciples and us, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father is referring to God. In other words, he's saying his name is holy. Reverence it as that. If we reverence God's name, or if we reverence God in his name, it will go a long ways in helping us to keep from taking it in vain in any area of our lives. You know, I think I referred to Joseph's statement that he made when Potiphar's wife was enticing him, but he said, "How could I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" Had to think of that here again. What was he really saying? I won't mar my life, and I won't mar the name and the image and the character of God. And I trust that each one of us can claim that for our own today. I will not do this great wickedness and sin against my God. So where are we at this morning? I trust and hope and pray that none of us would ever use the name of the Lord as a swear word. I would hope that that would be for sure. But what about other areas of our lives? Is there any areas that we are marring the name and the image of God? Is there any other areas that we are not being the witness and the testimony that we need to be for God? That we are? Is there any other areas that people can point out hypocrisy in our lives? I trust as we go through life that we will be careful to reverence the name of the Lord and be careful the choices we make and the things that we do, that we are representing God and his kingdom well, and that our neighbors can say that we are good and godly people. You know, I was many times, I'm sure all of us have a neighbor or have had a neighbor somewhere in our lives that I would think so anyhow, that you wonder about, or that are maybe I should say are an ungodly person. I've shared different times the story of our one neighbor and how he was a drunk. I believe he's getting freedom from that now. He had been in prison for a while and got out, but he still would not be a godly man by any means, shape or form. There's been many times over the years that, you know, I'm not sure, they probably lived there close to 20 years now, at least, maybe longer than that, I'm not sure. It's been at least that, and he's the type of guy that is offended if you do anything for him and don't let him pay you. You know, one time he needed a little bit of something there behind his house. He wanted a little bit of dirt moved. It took me 10 minutes with my skid loader, if even that. He wanted to pay me. I was like, no, I don't need anything. I mean, he had 20 bucks there. You're not leaving until I give you this. I mean, so I realized that I'm going to offend him and make him feel whatever towards me if I don't let him pay me. So it's been a little while since he has asked or needed anything like that done. There's different times if we get big snowstorms, if I'm going past, and the way the wind blows, it drifts right across. They have a very little parking area. For those of you that know where I'm talking about, it's right out along the road. There's room enough to back a car off the road. And when the wind really blows, it really drifts. There's many times if I'm going past and there's not a car, I'll just pull in and it takes one sweep through there and you're gone. And never even talk to him, once in a while he'll thank me if he sees me for pushing his snow out of the way. But I guess what I'm wanting us to think about is any way that what we can do for those that are ungodly or unbelievers that go a long ways in representing the kingdom well. And may we be careful to always give reverence and honor and glory to the Lord's name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.